Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
You know, the U.S. Supreme Court is in the news a lot right now, and not just because of President Biden's potential pick to go to the Supreme Court, because they've finally agreed to hear the Harvard admission discrimination case. It's something I've been publicly calling on the Supreme Court to take for years. They finally agreed to do that this week. And to help us understand why this case is so important, I reached out to Hans von Spakovsky. He's a former Department of Justice attorney, former member of the Federal Election Commission, and currently with the Heritage Foundation's Mies Legal Center. Hans, hey, thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Sure, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
Great to talk to you. A group of Asian American students have filed suit against Harvard alleging racial discrimination in the admissions process. Hans, give us the details. What's behind this lawsuit, and how did it get to the Supreme Court?
Well, we should make clear there's actually two lawsuits that they accepted, both the same issue, the discrimination in the admissions process, one from Harvard University, which is a private college, and the other from the University of North Carolina, which is a public college. And in both cases, they are alleging that discriminating on the basis of race. And let me tell you, the evidence in this case, and this is not in dispute, there is no question that both universities are discriminating on the basis of race. If you are an Asian student, Asian American student, if you're a white student, you are being discriminated against. If you are a Hispanic and black student, you are able to get into those schools with much lower credentials, academic credentials, than white and Asian students. Asian students are hurt the worst because of this. And let me tell you how bad it is. Some years ago, Harvard's own Office of Institutional Research did a study that concluded that Harvard was discriminating against Asian American students. And when the lawsuit was filed, they tried to bury that report and hide the findings. Mm-hmm. And the way they do it is actually, it's really kind of shameful because, you know, Harvard has this history. 100 years ago, they were discriminating against Jewish students to keep them out of the school. And the way they did it and the way they've done it with Asian American students exactly the same way is, look, the Asian American kids who are applying have very high quality credentials, you know, top grade scores, et cetera. But Harvard, like all these Ivy Leagues, has what they call holistic admissions process. Mm. What that means is they not only look at your grades and accomplishments, they then meet with you and judge your character and fitness.
Wow.
And all of the Asian students were given low character and fitness ratings to make sure they didn't get in. So in other words, the admissions officers are basically saying, well, all these Asian students, well, they may have good grades, but none of them have the character and fitness to get into the school. I mean, it is
outrageous. So it's not a situation, Hans, where people are questioning whether discrimination did or did not occur. I mean, the discovery process proved that discrimination was occurring. The only question is whether it was legally okay to discriminate in this situation, yes or no.
Yeah, and I don't think it is. Now, Harvard is claiming, and so is UNC, that this was legal for them to engage in what I can only say was odious and offensive ethnic stereotyping. But what the students are claiming is that, no, this wasn't legal, because even under this decision from 25 years ago called the Grutter decision, in which the Supreme Court unfortunately said that discriminating on the basis of race is occasionally okay, what the Supreme Court said back then was, you can only do this if there is no other race alternative method for getting students in. And what both the students in both cases are saying, that neither Harvard nor UNC tried any other method to do this. And look, what needs to happen, and I'm hoping will happen, is that the Supreme Court will finally do what, you remember Chief Justice Roberts some years ago said, look, the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race.
Yeah, he said that in 2007. But you mentioned this Grutter decision from 2003, and you're right. That case said that it didn't exactly say it's okay to discriminate. What it said is, as you described, that you have to look at other avenues to reach that parity that you're looking for. But that was a 5-4 decision in 2003, and the Supreme Court this year in 2022 looks a lot different than the Supreme Court in 2003.
Yeah, and not only that, but as you well know, Justice O'Connor, who at that time was on the court and was kind of the fifth vote on that, said that she hoped that 25 years from now wouldn't be necessary. Okay, well, we're almost 20 years later, and it's time for the Supreme Court to end this. The other thing that came out, by the way, in this case is that it's clear that, look, it's not just Harvard and UNC doing this. One of the things that came out in the Harvard discovery process was that twice a year, admissions officers from Harvard and 15 other schools, including Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, MIT, Princeton, and Stanford, would have secret meetings to compare their racial admission numbers to ensure that they all had exactly the same racial percentage of admissions.
Doesn't that amount to a de facto quota system that was banned by the Supreme Court in the 1970s in the University of California versus Bakke?
Yes, absolutely. And if you look at the admissions of Asian Americans at Harvard, for example, in the freshman class, while it's gone up slightly in the last couple of years, it's always hovered between 19, 20, 21%, despite the fact that the number of Asian American kids applying has gone way up. One of the only top schools like that does not do this is Caltech. Caltech has never discriminated on the basis of race, and at Caltech, compared to the 20% at Harvard, at Caltech, the Asian American percentage is like in the 40 percentiles because they don't discriminate.
Mm-hmm. Well, even you mentioned MIT. That's your alma mater, isn't it?
Yeah, and I find it very embarrassing. I looked into this, and it turned out that after I graduated from there in the 1990s, they started discriminating too, which for an engineering school that always prided itself on being the best in the nation and judging people just on their credentials, I think it is shameful and embarrassing that MIT is actually doing this.
We're talking to Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. And, I mean, obviously, if you asked any reasonable American, they're going to be in favor of inclusion. But when we're talking about this quota system that you point out, the discovery in the Harvard case showed was de facto happening, that they were meeting and really conspiring with other universities to ensure that there's a quota system. But when a quota system is in place, Hans, isn't that just result in a mandated exclusion for others?
No, it absolutely does. And the thing about this that has now been proven, and there have been a number of studies done about this, and there's been no counter to them, is there's this theory out there called the mismatch theory. And what it says is that these kind of policies actually hurt minority students. The reason being that, and look, this has nothing to do with race, Brad, as you know, look, Has anybody ever been in a class before they took in school where it turned out that everybody else in the class had higher academic credentials than you? If you're in the bottom of the class, mm-hmm. you're going to struggle. You're going to have enormous problems. And what the mismatch theory has shown is that minority students who get into these schools where everybody else has better and higher academic credentials than them, they struggle. They have higher dropout rates. And when you get rid of this kind of discrimination, what happens is the students who really should be getting into the B-level schools instead of the A-level schools, well, if they go to the A-level schools, they're going to have problems. They go to the B-level schools, they do great. Mm-hmm. Their graduation rate goes up. If you're a C-level, if you ought to be in a C-level school and you're accepted to a B-level school, it's the same thing. You're going to have problems at the B-level school. If you're in the C-level school, you're going to do fine. And when you get rid of this kind of these kind of racial preferences, actually, the graduation rates of minority students go up.
Amazing. And that's really what we're wanting. We're wanting kids to succeed in school, but we're placing them in a situation where they fail out of some misguided concept of virtue.
Yeah. And I just, no one can tell me that it is right to tell a kid, whether they're white or Asian American or anything else, who's worked hard, who has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the kind of discrimination that occurred decades ago, to tell them at the age of 18, well, you're not going to get into this school because of your race. What kind of a lesson is that we're teaching these kids?
Well, it also, I think, sets up the idea of stigma, having a stigma attached. I mean, for example, when President Biden announces that he's only going to consider a female African-American for the position on the Supreme Court, now anyone that he picks is going to be stigmatized by saying you were only chosen based upon your race and gender. And don't we have that same way of characterizing folks who go to Harvard if the stigma is you only are here because of a quota system?
Yeah, no, that is a real problem. And, I've spoken to African-American lawyers and others who have told me that that has been a real problem for them in their careers, and they really resent what racial preferences, because it's not affirmative action. We need to call it what it is. It's racial preferences. What that has done to hurt their reputations in the fields that they undergo. And, when you get rid of that, that problem disappears.
Well, we're talking to Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. You referenced the quote from Justice Roberts. I think he gave this in 2007, I believe, when he said, the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. It seems simplistic, but it's absolutely true. So if the court actually applies this truism to the Harvard case, how do you see the court ruling?
I think they will, whether they do it directly or indirectly, I think they will overrule the Grutter decision and say that there is simply no basis for and no justification for discriminating on the basis of race in college admissions unless you are doing it for one specific case to correct what was done to a specific student. If a student was discriminated against specifically because of their race, well, then, there's no problem in correcting that. But if you are discriminating just in general against students of a particular race and in favor of others of a particular race, that can't be allowed.
Well, I know I'm going to be following this case very closely, but more importantly, I know that you are too. So if folks want to read, Hans, what you write on this and so many subjects, I read the Daily Signal every day. That's where I catch a lot of the material that you write at thedailysignal.com. Is that the best place, or are there other places where folks can follow your legal analysis when it comes to the Supreme Court and other issues?
Now, they can go to heritage.org, and they can find all my stuff. And actually, if they go there and just print in my last name, Spakovsky, and Harvard, they'll pull up actually a very big, extensive paper that I wrote outlining what they discovered in the lawsuit against Harvard. And I think it will shock shock people when they read it.
Thank you for your time, Hans von Spakovsky. As always, great to talk to you, sir.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.